Well, we begin this morning overseas with Ash Barty's Wimbledon dream coming to an end after a shock fourth round defeat by American Alison Risk. 3-6, 6-2, 6-3. But the 23-year-old world number one and French Open champion says she won't let this defeat affect her too much.
Absolutely no regrets. We've planned our days and prepared as best that we can, and today wasn't my day. I didn't win a tennis match. It's not the end of the world. It's a game. I love playing the game. I do everything in my power to try and win every single tennis match, but that's not the case. So I think today it's disappointing right now, but give me an hour or so and we'll be all good, and the sun's still going to come up tomorrow.
Ash Barty speaking overnight after that loss. Well, Courtney Walsh was courtside. He's a sports reporter with The Australian. I spoke to him a few moments ago.
Yeah, thank you, Hamish.
Courtney, she is such a class act and really displaying maturity well beyond her 23 years in her response overnight.
She spoke with great composure. Look, no doubt she was a little disappointed, but she gave due credit to her rival, the American veteran Alison Risk, who had been in really good form throughout the grass court season. So it was never going to be an easy match. Look, we all would have expected Ash to go through, but no disgrace to be beaten by a player of Risk's quality, certainly given the way she played.
It was a pretty firing start, four aces in a first service game. What happened from there?
After that start, she was well on top through the first set. Risk got a toehold midway through, but Ash was able to close it out. But it was the serve that actually went awry afterwards. She sort of lost, I suppose, consistency on her first serve, and that allowed Risk to begin attacking her on the second serves. Now, Ash served particularly well throughout the French Open, also through Birmingham, and at different stages in her first three matches, but that pretty much was the key. Once the first serve went missing, she gave her opponent the chance to attack her, and with that, her confidence dipped a little bit, and she just wasn't quite as solid off the ground as what she'd been in a 15-match winning streak.
Now, interestingly, Risk is ranked 55th in the world, and this match overnight was played on Court 2, which has got the nickname the Graveyard because of the shock upsets it's hosted. Can we blame the court for this particular outcome?
Look, it's actually one of those things where it is a really famous court. I suppose the slight clarification, the court that was court number two is no longer court number two, given the given the reboot of the complex at Wimbledon. They continue to improve it every year.
And it's still blame it, can't we?
Oh, I think so. I mean, maybe the old court three is taking over from the old court two in terms of being an upset court. And look, we saw in the match immediately following Carolina Pliskova, who had a chance to take the world's top ranking from Ash if she'd made the semifinals. Well, she was beaten by a very talented, but again, unheralded compatriot from the Czech Republic. So the world number one and the woman who had the chance to be the world number one were both beaten on Graveyard Court 2.
Well put. Interestingly, reading in some of the things you've written overnight about this, you've reminded us that actually going on from winning at Roland Garros to then winning at Wimbledon is very difficult. In fact, it's very rare. And I think there's only two players that have ever done it.
Certainly in the last 31 years, we've only seen the two legends in Steffi Graf and Serena Williams manage the feat. And then look, six women in all have gone from the French to then win a grass court title of some sort. But I suppose when you consider it, and it's something that's always worth reminding fans of players, even the great Serena Williams, she's won 23 Grand Slam titles, but she's been beaten in another 51 tournaments. So there's, even the greatest are only winning one in three.
Yeah, right. And did Ash Barty indicate whether or not reaching this world number one ranking has added to the pressure on her and perhaps contributed to this result?
Look, the only thing she said was that certainly she's seen a little more scrutiny, and the other main factor is that she's always in the main press room. From an Australian journalist perspective, you don't quite have the same level of, meet and greet with her in the corridors afterwards. But she said that it didn't have an impact on her. She has withdawn from the doubles where she was partnering Victoria Azarenka, citing that right arm problem, but she certainly didn't attribute that to the loss in the singles. But we do know that she'd pulled out of Eastbourne prior. So, look, perhaps there's a little tinge of injury at play there, but I think she said the expectations-wise, it's all normal. I think you know, going into September where she'll go to the US Open and then to the end of season championships and lead Australia in the Fed Cup. This month has been particularly important in terms of learning things because she'll still be the world number one come the US major hardcourt swing. So at least she's had time to get used to it. And if we consider things, in a way, it's a step forward because she'd never made it past the third round at Wimbledon before. So had she not won in Paris, we'd be saying, well, she leaves London having taken a step forward at Wimbledon. It's interesting with the expectation now on her.
It's all about the context, I suppose. Billie Jean King says Barty has taken tennis out of the hands of the pure power hitters. She says she's playing like the old days. But as a journalist, I know you exist in these tournaments and get a view of things that we don't necessarily get at home. Is there something about the way she's operating, her team is operating, that is really giving her this opportunity to shine, do you think? Can you offer us some insights into how the Barty camp runs?
One thing I really like with the way Ash is operating, and it does spread to the team, it's a very good question, is that you'll often hear her say, aside from when she's quoting the Disneyland sayings that she had in the last three matches and at different tournaments,
So the Little Mermaid quote was not just a one-off?
No. She said that at different things through the year on occasion, but I think it may have been Kelly Underwood who was clever enough to pick that up. But she had certainly used Hakuna Matata and Infinity and Beyond at different sort of press conferences. So well played by her. I think great to see her interacting with her niece back in Brisbane that way. But she always says we, or you'll hear her refer to we got beaten today by a better player. We succeeded. It's a great triumph for my team. Now, when she first came back onto the tour, it was really surprising. And I'm thinking, why is she doing that? But what it does do is that it means that she shares, I suppose, the highs. So perhaps the highs are not as high as what they might be, but the lows, days like today where she gets beaten, well, it's a team effort. It can be shared, the disappointment. It keeps her on a pretty even keel. And I think clearly it's working for her because she is playing brilliant tennis. A loss today doesn't detract from her stellar summer, and maybe there's something in there. Ash's only got a handful of people travelling with her, and she's spreading the load, and I think that's a really wise move.
Courtney Walsh, let's hope it is to infinity and beyond. Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure, Hamish.
Courtney Walsh is a sports reporter with the Australian newspaper, and one of you has tweeted in fact, saying that while she didn't quote from Disney overnight, she did say the sun will come up tomorrow, which is, of course, from Annie.